From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm terrified. Listen to me, Republicans. Listen. You are the people in history they warned us about. They warned us about people like you! Pay attention! We're losing our democracy! Wake up! Wake up!
I'm scared. What was that? Sweet mercy, America. Holy cow. Wow. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. I hope you are awake now. I'm woke. My word, folks, we have new audio. This is another Karen, I suppose, is what they're calling it. Someone on the Twitter feed, you have to watch the video. And we've posted the video in the live show blog, this raging lunatic maniac, And she is very concerned about all of you Republicans out there. Let's listen to that one more time.
Terrified. Listen to me, Republicans. Listen.
Listen.
You are the people in history they warned us about.
We warned you.
They warned us about people like you. Pay attention. We're losing our democracy. Wake up! Wake up!
On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, our good friend Trish Regan. Wow, Trish.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
At first, I thought that was maybe Rachel Maddow early in the morning before the first cup of coffee, but...
Something like that. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Todd, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Leave it to you to find that audio. Look, I mean, people are going crazy. Unfortunately, that's like tolerated. And there's a lot of people on the left that would say she's absolutely right to be talking like that. I mean, it has reached such a level of hysteria. It's gotten so personal. They're willing to attack. I mean, I'm sorry. We've lost. Yeah, we are losing our democracy. And we're losing our republic, and we are losing our way as a nation.
Losing our minds, too.
But clearly, some of us are really, really upset.
On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, our good friend Trish Regan, TrishIntel.com is her amazing website. Just so much great information there, TrishIntel.com. Trish, this past weekend, I was really amazed at the amount of support that this president is garnering in places like Southern California. More than 20,000 people turned out. Carson City, Nevada. Meanwhile, you have Joe Biden. 40 cars showed up. 40 cars showed up at a North Carolina rally for the former vice president. I think the mainstream media, at the end of the day, Trish, this is going to be the big story, how they were completely in the tank for Biden and ignored reality.
You know, it reminds me of 2016 in some ways, Todd, because we saw exactly that. And I kept saying to myself, like, how is he getting like tens of thousands of people to go to these rallies if he's that hated, right? And why is nobody going to Hillary Clinton's rallies? It sort of feels like the same thing. I mean, there was that video over the weekend of Joe Biden at the little event where, you know, I don't know, maybe there were like 30 people there, and that's being generous. And he was reading that gigantic teleprompter. And I'm sort of like, so Trump still has all these people. Now, you could say his base is more enthusiastic. Enthusiasm counts for something, by the way, especially on a rainy day if you got to go to the polls and stand there. Enthusiasm does matter, and it's quite possible that they're really missing something. There was a J.P. Morgan analyst. You know, I always bring it back to the economy and finance and all those good little things. But there's a J.P. Morgan analyst who was looking at the data, and he's making the point. He's a super quant, and he's making the point that if you look at the number of voter registrations in so many of these swing states, what you're seeing is a much larger percentage of Republicans rather than Democrats that have recently registered. And his view is that that is really very helpful towards Donald Trump. And nobody's really looking at that. Nobody's really counting that data. And so once again, you could have a surprise. And don't forget the guy from Stony Brook that's predicted like all of these elections. He's still banking on a 91% chance, he says, that Donald Trump could win this election. But if you watch any of the mainstream media, there's just no chance, right? No chance at all. And it's almost like they want to beat all the optimism out of people so that they can get their way, which is to see Trump out of the Oval Office.
You know, and again, Trish, I think at the end of the day, it's not going to be about religious liberty. It's not going to be about the border. It's not going to be about, you know, shutting down Twitter and Facebook. I think this is a pocketbook election. And I think people are genuinely, you know, like the Gallup poll said, people are better off today than they were 4 years ago. I think it's that simple.
Sure. And there was another small business optimism index that came out that showed small business optimism was at a record high back at pre-pandemic levels. So that's amazing, right? I think people don't forget, like, what just happened to them. And I don't think that they hold Trump as responsible as they do their local leaders.
That's
because
right.
So many of these local leaders really shut down these economies. And Trump's been out there saying, you know, you ought to be able to engage in commerce, right? Like, we can't completely shut down our economy because that would be obviously super self-destructive. And we've learned that. And so they still, if you look at any of these polls, if you ask people about the economy and the president's handling of the economy, even despite everything we've been through, they keep giving him really solid chops on the economy. So if they trust him with their economic future, then maybe they, you know, they vote for him because it's in their self-interest to do so. They may not tell their friends, but they may in fact vote for him. And that's what I don't think the media is counting on in any way, shape, or form.
And to that point, I don't think people are gonna I don't think the Biden scandal is gonna change anybody's minds, and I'm not quite sure it's gonna compel somebody to go out and vote who wasn't already planning to. But this is still a major story and an ugly political scandal.
Sure, and here's what I do think will change some people's minds: the fact that the story is being suppressed so viciously, so adamantly by big tech and big media. I mean, don't forget George Stephanopoulos, who worked for the Clintons and did the town hall with Biden. He never even asked Biden about it during the whole 90 minutes, right? And it's kind of a big story. And even if it's just Biden clearing things up and saying, you know what, you know, maybe my son's a bit of a screw up, but I had nothing to do with that, blah, blah, blah. But the fact that it didn't even come up. And then, Todd, you think about Biden out on the campaign trail and the CBS News reporter saying to him, hey, would you comment on the New York Post story? And Biden attacks the reporter and tries to smear him and said, oh, I knew you, Doc. You really like all those kinds of, you know, smear stories and fake news. I mean, so he goes after the reporter and he still won't answer this question. And so we're left watching as Twitter accounts get locked out left and right days before an election. They're locking out the account of the Trump campaign because the Trump campaign dared to share this. I think that's really startling. I mean, look, this is the kind of stuff that happens in the U.S., former USSR, in Venezuela, in Cuba, in Iran. It's not what is supposed to happen in the United States of America, but you've got this big tech and this big media culture that's sort of very incestuous, right, with each other. And so as a result, and the Democratic Party. So as a result, the other side is not being tolerated. It's not being allowed. I mean, I've seen it. I know you have, too. I've seen it on the podcast where, you know, they've effectively shadow banned. I did not understand that and how severe a problem that really was until now.
So and so you've been impacted as well.
Oh, sure. Sure. Now, fortunately for me, I didn't share the New York Post story because apparently if you do, boom, they lock you out. And, you know, I have 730,000 people on Twitter that I communicate with every day. But I've seen it in terms of the podcast, just sharing it on Facebook, Todd. How is it that 1,000 people would like it, yet only 1,000 people have seen it? What they have done is systematically, and they admitted it, right? I mean, the guy who runs content admitted this, that they couldn't verify the story themselves. Therefore, they were not going to allow its distribution. They were shutting down the distribution of the story. And look, if the New York Post decided to report this out, that's the New York Post problem, right? And if the Biden family wants to sue them, go for it. but why is Facebook deciding that you can't listen to Trish Regan's podcast because she references this?
It's a fair question.
Crazy.
Well, it is. And by the way, and it's not just Biden. There was another batch of the emails that came out late last night over at Breitbart. And Trish, it's got Chris Hines' name in there. That is John Kerry's stepson and also Nancy Pelosi's daughter. So this thing is ugly. This is the way, this is the deep state. This is what Trump, this is the swamp, the D.C. swamp.
Right.
And this is what Trump is trying to fight against.
Everybody's got their hand out. They've all got their hand out. And, you know, look, I get it. You don't make a ton of money. What is it? $175,000. Actually, it is a lot of money. But you know what? It's not enough to afford perhaps the lifestyle that some of these politicians would love. And so then suddenly, you know, your kids and other family members are out there enabling themselves to have these lifestyles. I mean, look, it's not illegal. I should preface this by saying it's not illegal for Joe Biden's son to be making huge sums of money like this, but it is certainly questionable. And you know darn well he wouldn't have had these opportunities had it not been for his father. And then you have to take it a step further. It's a question that deserves answers. What exactly, you know, was being promised? Because his father was in charge of Ukraine policy, and allegedly, per this email, right, that we discovered thanks to the New York Post and Rudy Giuliani, who had a copy of the hard drive, apparently the meeting was set up in Washington, D.C. between the Burisma executive from the energy company and Joe Biden, then vice president. Now, this is what is being alleged. So why can't, you know, there's two people that can clear it up. You know that, Todd? Two people. Hunter and Joe Biden. Hunter's like under a rock somewhere, and Joe Biden won't address the issue.
Yeah, he's sheltered in the basement.
What are we supposed to think?
Mm-hmm. It's true. You know what this reminds me of, Trish Regan? Years ago, there was a guy, one of the mafia guys, because Biden, I mean, if we're believing all of this, Biden was basically using Hunter as a middleman, you know, to get the money. This reminds me of Vinny the Chin. He was the mobster who feigned being like mentally ill. You know, he pretended to be wacko to get out of being prosecuted. And I'm wondering if Biden is doing the whole, maybe he's feigning the whole, senility, and he's the mastermind.
He's like, you know, of course I don't remember that meeting. Look, I suspect that more of this happens than we'd like to.
Oh, of course
think,
it does.
Right? You know, that the children or the family members that are connected to these politicians all have their hands out. And again, I cringe because I feel like we're just no better than some banana republic. I mean, one of the things that I never quite understood, right? And I'd be told this on some of my reporting investigative stuff I did down in Paraguay and some of these other challenged economies. And people go into government so that their families can benefit.
All right.
You know? And
that's
there's
true.
Expectation.
All right. We've got a skedaddle here, Trish. They're yelling at me to take a break. TrishIntel.com. Got anything coming up? What's coming up on the podcast?
I am all over this story. I am all, because you know me, I follow the money, Todd. And so I'm investigating all of this. I talked to a source today who gave me some really, really good intel about what is on that hard drive. And these were things that, you know, Rudy Giuliani had been talking about earlier. Lev Parnas was very involved in this way back when as well. So I'm breaking it all down and I'm bringing you the story. And I'll tell you what, they cannot keep me quiet. They cannot shut me down. But it's up to all of us right now to get out there and share and spread the word.
All right, go get them. Trish Regan, TrishIntel.com. Trish, thank you as always.
Thanks, Todd.
All right, great lady right there. Great website too. All sorts of incredible stuff. Hey, we've got to take a break, and we're going right to the phones when we get back. But here's the question: why is it? Why do you think nobody's showing up at these Biden rallies? I mean, this is really weird, even by regular campaign presidential campaigns. Very odd. 844-747-8868. Toll free number 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
All right, welcome back. By the way, President Trump very upset with the New York Times. I suppose there's nothing new there. But Maggie Haberman is reporting that President Trump is in a dire political predicament. And the president's response is what I love, because the president responded that every rally is boffo. Boffo. So good for you, Mr. I haven't heard boffo used lately. So if nothing else, I appreciate this president. How can I say this? Jazzing up the American vernacular. So good for you, Mr. President. Boffo. All right, let's go to the phones here. Central Arkansas, Steve, listening to us on KARN. All right, Steve, let's talk about these Biden rallies.
Yeah, I was thinking a while ago when I listened to the audio of whoever that was that you had on ranting about the Republicans and going on. I don't know that Joe wants his base to show up at his appearances. Would you want to be linked to that? I think he's as afraid of his base as we are.
I think that's a fair point. You know, these Antifa people, I mean, they're, let's just be honest, you bring one of those home to mom and dad, you know, for Thanksgiving, you know, that's not going to be good. That's not going to be good.
Every time his base gets together in a crowd, Todd, either stuff starts burning or people start getting beat up, or they start throwing their own waste or screaming like that. I mean, I think he's as afraid of them as we are. I think they're hiding from their own base.
Steve, I think this is true, because they do. They fling the waste around. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, we don't make this up. I mean, it's like, yeah. You've seen the videos at the zoo. I mean, that's how they're behaving.
Can you imagine getting as many of those people together as Trump supporters, as you get Trump supporters at a Trump rally, that the damage they could do?
That's true. It's a fair point. And you can smell that crowd a good country mile before you actually run into them. Lord love them. They just don't have good hygiene. You know, it's. Yeah. It is what it is. Steve. You know, Steve, this is what I love about you, is you're very observant. And, I mean, that could very well be the practical answer. I mean, that could be the reason why, is that, well, you know, no, Biden doesn't want to hang out with these people.
Some people may think I was saying that kind of cheek and tongue, but I'm pretty serious. I think they're afraid of him too.
Yeah, I'd be scared. I'd be scared of that gal. And in all fairness, I don't know what her pronouns are, but she's she's a lot of woman. I'll just leave it there. It's, hey, Steve, we got to skedaddle. We got to take a break here. Thanks for the call. You know, I know he didn't mean that tongue in cheek, but maybe Steve's got a great point. Would you want to hang out with that screaming, squawking magpie? Not me. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Katie by the door. You've been warned. Warned, Republicans. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Hey, just wanted to give you an update. And, you know, this is the radio business. And, you know, the radio business, it's pretty competitive out there. But we need to take a moment and just think about Rush Limbaugh. Rush going through through cancer. And he just posted an update a little while ago. And the cancer had been dormant, but now apparently it's come back again. So, you know, Rush Limbaugh, I mean, what a great American patriot. And honestly, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing had Rush Limbaugh not paved the way for all of us. And many of you used to listen to Rush. And of course, we're on some of those stations now. And but we always send shout outs to Rush Limbaugh, because we're huge ditto heads here on the Todd Stearns radio program. So here's what I want you to do tonight: when you say your prayers, when you're having your quiet time, just pray for Rush and his wife and the Limbaugh family. Would you do that and join the Stearns family as we just pray that the Lord would do a mighty thing and heal Rush and just give him great peace of mind. All right, and we'll keep you updated. We'll keep you updated, and maybe we'll try to get David Limbaugh, Rush's brother, on the show to give us an update. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. Turning now to the soon-to-be Senate vote on Amy Coney Barrett. Judge Barrett coming under fire from a lot of Democrats because of her faith, including in the state of Kansas, where the Democrat nominee for the Senate, Barbara Bollier, is suggesting that Amy Barrett should be questioned about her Catholic faith. Now, Barbara Bollier is the Democrat going up against Roger Marshall. We have a lot of listeners in Kansas, and you guys know what is at stake here, replacing the retiring Senator Pat Roberts. Well, to help us sort all of this out and to offer some analysis here, our good friend Jeremy Dice from First Liberty Institute. Jeremy, good to have you back on the show.
Always good to be here, Todd. Thanks for having me.
So what is your take here? I mean, this is pretty stunning stuff. National Review has a story up. Here's the headline: Democratic Senate candidate suggests Barrett should be questioned about her faith.
Well, I mean, clearly it should not. I mean, Article 6 of the Constitution makes it abundantly clear that there is no religious test for office, but yet the left somehow just will not get the memo. They keep being insistent upon questioning a nominee's faith, and it's not just Judge Barrett's faith that they keep on questioning. It's really any nominee that is sent up there that hints at the fact that they may have some sort of religious backing in their life of some sort, and so they continually degrade them. But most recently, it is Judge Barrett. We all know the famous interchange between Senator Feinstein and Judge Barrett in 2017, where the dogma lives too loudly within her, apparently, to be a federal judge. If that's not a religious test for office, I don't know what is. But then again, Dick Durbin said soon after that asking her if she's an actual, like, Orthodox Catholic. You know, are you Catholic enough? Or are you too Catholic? Maybe he's saying on these things. Well, those are all forbidden by it. And then just in this hearing last week, we heard time and again kind of a more subtle dig at her religious faith, which was, are you basically going to follow the theological teachings of the Pope, or are you going to be a judge? As if you couldn't, you know, somehow follow a religious tradition and remain a good judge in some respect. This kind of thing needs to stop. The American people have said, we've had it with this. In fact, we did a poll on this last week through Mason-Dixon polling, and it reveals that two-thirds of America say that, yeah, the Constitution is right. There should be no religious test for office, and you should stop making them.
So, Jeremy, I mean, if, in fact, the polling data is accurate, which I have no doubt to believe it's not, why is it that the Democrats continue to push and go down a path that the American people overwhelmingly oppose them going down?
Well, number one, I think it's to satisfy their base, right? There's much worse things being said in the, you know, wherever the left gathers for social hour of some sort about this person's faith, but they can't quite say it in the same way at the confirmation hearing. That's number one. But number two, there's an old saying in the law that I think applies here, that if your case is strong in the facts, you pound the facts. If it's strong in the law, you pound the law. If it's strong in neither, then you pound the table. And I think what we have here is just the left pounding the table. They know they can't lay a glove on this 16-year constitutional scholar, professor, minivan-driving mom from Indiana. They know they can't match wits with her. She showed that ably last week in the confirmation hearings, where she kind of ran circles around all the senators there with not a single note in front of her but a blank notepad. You know, that was it. And so they know they can't touch any of that. They know that they can't go against her opinions that she's written as a judge, because those are well articulated and put together. And so the only thing they have left to do is to figure out a way to disqualify her. Now, they're trying to do that, of course, with making kind of these politically intimidating arguments about the Affordable Care Act, which I think have no place in the hearings, but there you are. And then if they can't do that, then they've got to somehow imply that she is a plant for her church. which is just simply ridiculous and ought to be, you know, countenanced by no one who loves freedom in this country.
Well, I have to imagine First Liberty Institute very excited about the prospects of having Justice Barrett on the highest court in the land.
Look, I think there's a lot of good that comes with Justice Barrett if she does, in fact, become justice. There is a long history here of a commitment to originalism and textualism, meaning that words had a public meaning at the time that they were put down on a piece of paper, and that we ought to consult the text in front of us, not the text we don't have or want to have instead. There is a lot of judicial discipline in her life to say that I'm going to be bound, as you heard her say so many times last week in the hearing, I'm bound by what you guys do in the legislature and then what the Constitution says. If you don't like the policy outcome, that's not for me to judge. That's for you to fix, legislature. And if you keep punting this to the judiciary, you've got it all backwards. You can't do that. So I think what we see in a Judge Barrett is someone who is clearly committed to ensuring that the Constitution reigns supreme in this land, as it well should.
Well said. You know, but Jeremy, we got to skedaddle, but I know you're a good church-going Christian, and the president was at a church in Las Vegas. I don't know if you saw this video. We have it up on our website. So the mainstream media got very alarmed because there was a moment in the service where the president pulled out his wallet and put cash into this, like, bucket that was being passed around. We tried to reassure them that he was not trying to pay anybody off. That's what they call the offering.
Yeah, my goodness, what happens when he decides to take some grape juice and a wafer? They'll have no idea what would have hit them on all of that. But yes, the clutching of the pearls about the offering and the tithing. My gracious, I was just actually impressed that the president still carries cash around.
How about that? What's it? Bill Clinton, he never brought cash, so the Secret Service always had to buy the when he went to McDonald's. Remember, the president back in the day would go jogging, and then he would end up at McDonald's, and the Secret Service had to foot the bill.
Oh, man. Well, look, it's great to have a man of the people in the White House,
I guess. I'll tell you what. All right, Jeremy Dice, ladies and gentlemen, keeping them all straight and in line over at First Liberty Institute. Jeremy, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Where is Avery at? I've got Avery Bryson. We've been trying to talk about this Marvel Comics story for like 3 hours now. Do we have Avery with us?
Yes, I'm right here. Sorry, I was shutting the door to the room.
All right. So what's going on here? So we understand Chris Pratt,
yes.
Who was in the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy.
And also Jurassic Park, was he not?
Yeah, he was in Jurassic World was the,
all right,
the
Jurassic
new
World.
Revamp.
Yeah, it was horrible. He did a good job, though. Can I just a brief aside here? That was the one movie where I was kind of rooting for the dinosaurs.
Really?
Over the humans.
Didn't like Jurassic World?
No, I thought it was all right, but it was the female lead. She was very off-putting.
Bryce Dallas Howard?
Yeah, that was...
Okay.
Yeah,
that's fair.
It was not good. I'm just very impressed that you just knew her name right out of the gate, so...
I love this type of stuff, Todd.
It's your life.
It is.
By the way, Avery Bryson is host of the informative Nerd Burrito.
And yes, sir.
Did I get it right?
Yes, you did.
Thank goodness gracious. That's the first time, ladies and gentlemen. It really is a great weekly podcast, and we've got a link to it in the live show blog. But, Avery, there's a lot. Chris Pratt is under fire from the cancel culture mob, and I want you to tell everybody why. This is a fascinating story.
Yeah, so basically what's been happening here, folks, is that a couple of the cast members from the Avengers movies are now holding or are going to be holding a fundraiser for for the presidential nominee for the Democratic Party, Joe Biden. They're holding a fundraiser for him, for his campaign or whatever, I guess, where they're going to be including some trivia with just Avengers trivia. Maybe they'll throw in some Joe Biden trivia, like, oh, I don't know, did he actually go to a famously historic black college? I don't know. You decide. Mm-hmm. But basically, there are also a couple of cast members, including Scarlett Johansson, Don Cheadle, Mark Ruffalo, and Chris Evans are going to be making an appearance. This is all going to be over Zoom, I believe so. I didn't see that specifically. But basically, Chris Pratt was invited to join to be a part of the Biden fundraiser, but he declined. And there was no reason as to why. Pratt has not released anything at this moment of why he denied to join this sort of fundraiser. But like a whole bunch of people are coming after him saying he's pro-Trump, he's pro-anti, or he is anti-LGBTQ plus whatever, that sort of stuff, just because he doesn't want to be a part of this Joe Biden fundraiser.
So let me ask you some questions here. Chris Pratt, is he a supporter of President Trump? Has he come out and endorsed the president?
He has not come out and endorsed any presidential candidate.
I see. Has he said anything that's remotely anti-gay?
No, he has not.
So these people are basically speaking out the wazoo. Is that
yes?
Is that accurate? All right.
That is fairly accurate, yeah.
So look,
it's really, really disappointing. Sorry to cut you off, Todd, but I'm fired up about this stuff. This is the stuff I get fired up about. But like, this isn't the only cast member of the Avengers that is not making an appearance. Those including that will not be making an appearance, to the best of my knowledge right now, are Robert Downey Jr., Tom Holland, Brie Larson, who portrayed Captain Marvel, Todd, your least favorite just superhero film of all time, probably, who's a super feminist, super pro-liberal, that sort of stuff, pro-LGBTQ and all that. And so they're just strictly coming after him just because he has mentioned that he is a Christian in the past. And so he is just coming under fire for all of that, for almost for no reason at this point.
Can I speak now?
Yes, you can go.
Okay.
I didn't want to interrupt.
I mean, you were very passionate. Grace was impressed. I mean, she was like, wow, I've never heard Avery so, you know, passionate about something.
Just remember, Todd, this is the Todd Starn Show. I have my podcast, but this is your show. So
with Avery Bryson. Yeah, it's, we're going to have to make you a co-host. You know, and look, Tom Holland, of course, he's British, so, you know, he really doesn't matter. But this Chris Evans guy, he's the guy that played Captain America.
Correct.
I'm very disappointed. That guy is, I don't mean to disparage, but the guy's a jerk. A jerk.
Yeah, he hasn't said a whole lot of super nice stuff about the president, but also I'd be willing to argue that Mark Ruffalo is way worse.
Oh, like, that guy's sleazo. Yeah.
I appreciate him as an actor. I think that they both do a fantastic job portraying the characters that they're designed to, but they're very terrible people when it comes to politics.
But again, it goes back to this whole cancel culture mentality. You know what? I'm supporting Trump, and I like the Marvel Avengers movies. And I mean, you told me you just ran down the list of people that are going to be appearing at this Zoom thing. What do I care? Why should I? You know, fine. Okay, that's their life. That's their political opinion. Have at it. Don't expect me to endorse it. But at the same time, if Chris Pratt, and again, we don't know if he's a Trump supporter or not. He's clearly the guy would be supportive of all communities. Otherwise, he would not be allowed to star in a movie in Hollywood. So I'm not sure what the big deal here is, except for the fact that unless you bow down and worship at the feet of the Democrats, there is you know what to pay. And that's exactly what's happening here.
He is a prime example of, as soon as you switch on this, even in the slightest respect of this mob mentality that some of the Democrats and the far leftists have made, they will turn on you and they will act like they were never even friends with you before.
Well, it's unfortunate that this kind of intolerance exists in Hollywood, a land that promotes itself as being the land of tolerance. Clearly, that's not the case. All right. Well, Avery, thanks for bringing us an update on that. That's very disappointing, but I'm not terribly surprised, folks. I mean, for goodness sakes, they're threatening to burn down people's homes if they vote for Trump in Kansas City. So go figure. All right. We've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starn Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, let's get right to the phones here. Little Rock, Arkansas, Lynn hanging out with us today. Lynn, how are you doing today?
Oh, I am so amazing. I'm telling you what, 70 some odd degrees here. It's an awesome day. The Lord has made for all of us.
Amen. That's a sermon right there, Lynn.
Oh, you got it. How are you doing today?
Lynn, I'm doing dandy because we're just right across the river from you guys in Memphis, and we've got the same weather you've got, and it's a pretty nice looking day out there.
Well, it is. I got my back door open. I'm fixing to turn a fan on when I hang up from you. I just didn't want you to get all the noise. It's hot in here. I got my shorts on.
Whew. Very thoughtful. Very thoughtful of you, Lynn. Chamber of Commerce weather is what they say.
Well, that sounds all right. I'll take it every time. Listen, I was listening to you guys talking here, and you're talking about those comics and movies and all that stuff. And I will not call them movie stars because a star was somebody like Jimmy Stewart, not these people who make movies. But you guys were saying how you just let them do their thing. Oh, well, it's kind of that. But you know what? If people would stop supporting and going and buying that stuff, maybe they'd get the hint. We Christians keep supporting these people who keep saying how bad we are. We're kind of dumb.
Well, Lynn, I see where you're going with this, but by and large, I don't. For example, I'm just going to throw Michael Bublé, for example. I don't necessarily. The guy's got a great singing voice. I listen to the music, but I don't know what the guy's politics are, and I'm okay with that. I don't really need to know what the guy's politics are. I don't think that should be a litmus test. But if you're going to shove your beliefs down my throat, yeah, I got a problem with that.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. These guys that you know what they're fixing to do, and there's a bunch of people out there, and they just shove that stuff at us. They tell us how horrible we are. Stop buying the product.
Avery, you're a resident movie guy. What do you think about that?
Well, it's a very good question, but I'm just, you know, again, I'm sort of in the same boat with you, Todd. I mean, just like, When it does come to shoving politics or your personal beliefs down my throat, that's when I start to check out. Like, if another Captain Marvel movie comes out with Brie Larson, I'm probably not gonna go see it when it comes into the movies and the entertainment, that's when I have a problem. You can have your own personal beliefs, but when it starts coming into my entertainment, that's when I'm gonna check out.
Carlotta, rather Lynn, you know what I miss?
Yeah.
I miss the old Andy Griffith Show. That's what I miss.
But yes. Oh, yeah. Well, we don't have anything besides just rabbit ears, but we get all of those.
You're better off because of it, Lynn. I'll tell you that much. Hey, look, Lynn, we've got a skedaddle. Give us a call back sometime. We may do a whole show just on great movies of the past. That would be fun. All right, folks, been a lot of fun. Get out there. Have a great day. Go vote. Go vote. This is the Todd Starnes Show.